TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness. Vandana Shiva, Genetically Engineered Food and the Militarization of Agriculture, Part 2 of 2. Dr. Vandana Shiva, trained in physics with a dissertation on quantum theory, born in Dehradun, India, the daughter of a forest conservator and a farmer, is one of the great ecologists of our time. In part one, she led with the remark, quote, "No matter where you start, we all realize that the place we do our work is how we grow our food." She went on to make an eloquent argument how the industrial food system actually creates hunger while claiming to feed the world and employs techniques and inputs that come from war. Pesticides and fertilizers destroy the soils that are the source of life and the store of water and fertility. Shiva is also an eloquent critic of genetic engineering and states that GMO seeds were created with only one aim: to collect royalties and put corporations in control over the world supply of food. I met Vandana Shiva 20 years ago when I recorded and broadcast the meetings that led to the founding in 1994 of the International Forum on Globalization. At stake was, then as now, the impact of international trade agreements on democracy and people's ability to choose ecology over destruction. We owe Vandana Shiva a huge debt of gratitude for having been one of the first to explain that modern trade agreements are no longer just about setting tariffs at the border, but rather are increasingly global bills of rights that give corporations power over national laws and regulations, all in the name of maximizing their profits. In so-called investor-state suits before unaccountable trade tribunals, corporations can sue governments when they fear that their profits are being curtailed by state laws to protect health, safety, labor, the environment, or other so-called obstacles to trade. And NAFTA, CAFTA, and the World Trade Organization, the WTO, have by now created the multi-year records of the effects of these ever-expanding corporate rights, leading up to the current efforts of pushing through the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. I recorded Vandana Shiva on September 10, 2013, at the Institute of Noetic Sciences in the mountains north of Petaluma, California. The small group allowed for a good amount of back and forth. Her answer to the first question combined her reference to the TPP and investor-state suits with the plight of one farmer. In 2007, Monsanto sued the Indiana farmer Vernon Hugh Bauman for patent infringement. Bauman had purchased mixed soybean seeds from a grain elevator and planted them for his second planting that year. His case now is potentially precedent-setting since the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in favor of Monsanto. Yes, Vandana Shiva.
You know, there's a Trans-Pacific Partnership Free Trade Treaty underway. There's a U.S.-Europe Free Trade Treaty. All these free trade treaties have in them what are called investor state suits. And what this is, if I'm a corporation and I decide all the seeds should be patented and I should be getting this much royalties, and a government under democratic pressure like ours is not allowed to patent everything, we've stopped it. We put in clauses into our patent law, no patents on biological processes. We just got a patent rejected for Monsanto. Here, poor Bauman, a farmer who bought grain in the market and planted it, not seed. He bought soya from an elevator and planted it. And Monsanto said, "You've stolen from us." So this logic is, I can make a trillion if every seed on the market brings me a royalty. But there are people in the world And democratic governments are supposed to represent the will of those people. And under certain conditions, it still works. So you get a law that doesn't allow royalties on everything, on plants and seeds and generic medicine. Big cases going on in India right now on each of these things. And in all those free trade treaties, corporations are seeking is the right of the investor to sue the state and say, you've stolen $1 trillion from us. They decide they can make money in so-and-so way. And if they're not allowed to make that money because of ethics, democracy, ecology, etc., then they consider it stealing. So there's actually a case of a company, a Californian company called Sunbelt. And because of NAFTA, Sunbelt thought, well, we can bring the water now. Go to Canada, they've got so much water. And we'll import the water to California. And the British Columbia legislature discussed the issue and they voted and said, no, our water is not for sale. It's not a commodity. And Sunbelt sued the British Columbia government. Said, we could have made so much money if we had brought this water to California. You've prevented us from making that much money. Now you have to pay us.
Sunbelt Corporation in 1999 was not successful in suing the Canadian government for lost income. However, other investor state suits under trade agreements such as NAFTA or CAFTA have been decided in favor of corporations. The following examples are from a list published by Public Citizen in August 2013. Metalclad, a U.S. waste management corporation, won a $16.2 million settlement against Mexico. A Mexican municipality decided not to grant a construction permit for a toxic waste facility unless Metalclad cleaned up existing toxic waste problems. Ethyl, a U.S. chemical company, won $13 million from Canada over the Canadian ban on MMT, a toxic gasoline additive. Between 2003 and 2004, the U.S. corporations Cargill, Archer Daniels Midland, and Corn Products International all successfully sued the Mexican government for a combined $186 million. That was over Mexican tax levied on beverages sweetened with high fructose corn syrup. They successfully argued that it was unfair that drinks sweetened with natural cane sugar did not have to pay that tax. And one more of a list of 13 from Public Citizen. TCW Group, a U.S. investment management corporation, jointly owns with the government one of the Dominican Republic's three electricity distribution firms. TCW sued the government for violating CAFTA by refusing to raise electricity rates and failing to prevent electricity theft by poor residents. That cost the Dominican Republic $26.5 million in 2007. By 2013, investors collected a total of $405 million in taxpayer money as compensation for lost profits. A member in the audience asked Vandana Shiva how many countries require labeling of foods that contain GMOs.
60 countries. Europe had it from the day of beginning of these debates, which is one of the reasons the US tried to sue Europe in 2003. India, I sued the government, must have been 5-6 years ago, for not having labeling. Though we had no GM crops in India for food, we had the cotton, but we were importing. And the government was ready to pass the law, and then the US ambassador threatened and blocked it for a while. Then we had to build up again, and 1st of January this year, it's become mandatory GM labeling.
Are the trade agreements weakening that?
Well, the trade agreements were weakening it, and last year, the US was blocking at the level of trade agreements. So the WTO has three treaties that make a difference to food. One is the Intellectual Property Rights Treaty, which forces the patenting on seed, and through that, in a way, forces GMOs. The second is the agreement on agriculture. And the NAFTA element is what destroyed the corn of Mexico by dumping. Because they're very unequal. You're supposed to open up your borders, but the other side doesn't have to reduce its subsidies. So they can reduce the costs and dump. And that destroys local agriculture, which is what's happened to Mexico. If Mexico's economy is one-third crime, it's because of free trade agreements. And the third treaty is what is called the Sanitary and Phytosanitary Agreement, which is supposed to be about safety. Now, the body that is supposed to look at these standards is called the Codex Alimentarius. And it's got WHO, FAO, and a lot of corporations on it, and usually they push the negative. But because the GMO issue was so important to so many countries that had passed national laws, and they were constantly being threatened in terms of labeling being interference in free trade, last year, for the first time, the United States lost the vote. Codex passed the resolution that no country could sue another country on grounds of free trade for labeling. So now that block's been removed.
I asked Vandana Shiva about genetic pollution and how GMO plants interact with plants that are not engineered.
The first generation of pollution is what we are dealing with in terms of climate change. It is basically burning of fossil fuels and putting pollutants into the air. Originally, we could see it all. Then they learned ways to not have these smokestacks. A lot of it is now invisible, but it's still there. And climate change is all linked to that first generation pollution. The second generation pollution was chemicals. Toxics that were put out. Rachel Carson woke us up to that. The third generation of pollution is tampering with living systems at the genetic level, introducing genes that don't belong to those plants, and then the fact that plants hybridize, the wind blows, the pollinators pollinate, means that these traits that have been introduced then spread through normal biological processes and normal ecological processes, and then they enter plants where they don't belong. So Mexico didn't have BT corn, but Mexico, which is the heart of the diversity of corn and gave us corn, their native varieties were found polluted with the BT traits. And then Ignacio Chapela did the research and found this to be true, got published in Nature. And after that, things started to not, oh, actually Arpad was the first and then Ignacio. On one of the other militarized systems that Monsanto has evolved is in knowledge. You know, just like you spray Roundup from the sky, here, if a good article gets published in the press or in the media, they unleash a war against that scientist or that journalist. And later it was found out by a British journalist that they use something called viral marketing. There weren't 100 scientists saying this paper is wrong. There was one PR firm manufacturing names of scientists sitting at one computer and dashing off these letters to Nature. And since this has never happened in science, Nature panicked and did something that has never happened before. They said, we withdraw the paper, but you can't withdraw a published paper, it's published. Yeah? They've done that now with Seralini. Yeah?
He had trouble getting tenure.
Yes, and then he did a satyagraha. That's how he got tenure. He took his table in front of the president's office and I said, I'll hold my classes in front of your footsteps. You know, in front of the steps, in front of your office, till you give me tenure.
Where was that?
Berkeley. Yeah. Right here. And Eric Seralini was in the government body to assess safety of GMOs. And then he realized the science was very, you know, they weren't doing enough research. So he said, I'm going to start my own lab. And he started a lab, and he's been doing some of the best work, and he did a two-year study just now. Very high levels of tumors. It's published in a journal on chemical toxicology, chemical and food toxicology. Minutes is published, Monsanto attacks the journal, forces them to appoint one of their men as an editor. Jesus. No, so, I mean, when you know the details, I don't want to kill you with all the details. If you know, it's a war out there. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely a war out there.
That was Vandana Shiva at her September 2013 visit to California. The scientists she mentioned, Ignacio Chapella, Arpad Pushtai, and most recently Eric Cerlini, have all been attacked or lost their jobs as a result of their findings. Next, Vandana Shiva gave a very interesting answer to the often asked question whether we can change all this by changing a person's mindset.
You know, I definitely think a militarized world is born in the mind, a monoculture world is born in the mind. But once it's born in the mind, argument doesn't change it. Argument reinforces it. Experience changes it. And, you know, one reason we started Navdani, I mean, I didn't intend to have a farm. In fact, I'd sold my mother's farm to finance the founding of Navdaniya, you know? And then I had to come back to having a farm because a lived experience is the biggest education. And I think one reason the work of Gavin is showing so much promise is the experience of gardening by those who were in jail. That experience for them, they know they don't have to go and shoot somebody or bully somebody or rape somebody to feel something, that they are something. I'm absolutely convinced watching the rapes shoot up in India. They just had one of a photographer now, before that of that young woman in Delhi. And I look at those men who are going into this. Those men, we've created economies for no work for people. Empty minds, empty hands. And then we fill the minds with Hollywood and Bollywood. The violence of Hollywood and Bollywood. Because what do these films celebrate? Violence and sex. And that is the only experience they're getting. So we need to create the possibility of another experience.
That's the Indian ecologist Vandana Shiva. Her most compelling argument was that about the connection of industrial agriculture and war. One of the countries most affected by Roundup Ready soy is Argentina. The Mercola website presents research that, as a result of government policy, more than 18 million hectares in Argentina are planted in genetically engineered soy that are routinely sprayed with more than 300 million liters of pesticides. Vandana Shiva.
And the tragedy of Argentina is so severe because all of Argentina has become a green desert with Roundup Ready soya. And the acreages are so huge, they spray from planes. Roundup, by its very definition, is a broad-spectrum herbicide that kills everything greens it comes in contact with. So can you imagine, I'm a little farmer or I have a kitchen garden and here's a plane growing over. No one can grow their food. Children, there's a film on a young boy who used to cycle to school daily and these spray planes used to come over him. And he died with that poisoning. So it is war. It is war of a very serious kind. It's a war because the instruments are war instruments. Most of the chemical in agriculture come from the war. Even the nitrogen fertilizers were produced in former explosive factories. And they can be turned back into explosives, which is why. Oklahoma bombing, fertilizer bomb. Oslo bombing, fertilizer bomb. I was at a dinner in some place, I can't remember, but the very senior U.S. security official was on my table. And after my talk, I came and sat at the table and he's saying, you know, we distributed so much fertilizer in Afghanistan to fight the Soviets. There's so much fertilizer in every village. That's how they're turning it into bombs. Pesticides began as chemicals for the concentration camps. The herbicides, like Agent Orange, were designed for war. That's the challenge we face of reclaiming spaces for democracy and freedom, particularly in vital things. For me, the garden is the place where everyone can begin. So Seeds of Freedom, Gardens of Hope is what we talk about. What are the seeds of freedom? Seeds of freedom are those seeds that can grow into seed on their own. And therefore, a farmer can save from a harvest and have a crop without spending money. Because the cost to farmers of this royalty payment and expensive chemicals is so high, since Monsanto entered, it's taken over the cottonseed market in India, 95%. They've pushed the prices up 8,000%. Seed which could be saved every year has to be bought, not just every year, but maybe 2-3 times, because it's not adapted to that climate. It fails very frequently. So very often the cost of seed for farmers is sometimes 30,000% more. How do they buy this against their land on credit? They're told they'll be millionaires, that they'll get so much yield and output, they'll never ever have to worry, they'll pay back the debt very fast. They can't. 284,000 farmers have committed suicide since 1995. It's more than 250,000. Everything else shrinks in proportion. And yet, there is no taking of responsibility. So we try and take the responsibility. We've started, we've set up in Navdani 110 community seed banks across the country. We're going to keep doing it till we can. And I'm glad we started when we did in 87. And I started in 87 because I was at a conference where the corporations talked about genetic engineering to take patents and to force the patents on the world through WTO and the trade-related intellectual property rights agreement, which Monsanto wrote. Monsanto wrote it. So they've been at it for quite a long time. Now they are absolutely confident that they'll write the final script. I am hugely confident that the final script will be written by the cosmos, by the earth, by Gaia, and people who work in alignment with those forces of renewal and harmony.
Vandana Shiva, recorded at the Institute of Noetic Sciences in Petaluma, California. The last question came from a woman from Mexico. She decried the fact that the Mexican government is supporting chemical agriculture and GMO plantings.
Well, the future of agriculture in Mexico is linked to the future of agriculture in this country, linked to the future of agriculture in India, because the players who are pushing a destructive agriculture and co-opting every institution at the national level for their project are the same players. Monsanto's the problem in India, Monsanto's the problem here, Monsanto's the problem in Serbia, Monsanto's the problem in Poland, Monsanto's the problem in Bangladesh, in Philippines, in Mexico. So I always say thank you to Monsanto for two reasons. I wouldn't have learned any of this if they hadn't been around. You know, I wouldn't have needed to. So I'd have been less informed. And the second is, I think they're the biggest force of uniting citizens worldwide. That's why the march against Monsanto, just some call, a few of us gave a call, and it was so successful, there's going to be a repeat of that march on the 12th of October. And this is very important, because 12th of October is in the week of World Food Day. And World Food Day, 16th of October. 2nd of October is Gandhi's birth anniversary. So we celebrate that fortnight as the fortnight of seed freedom and food freedom. We're telling people around the world, identify the laws that are being made in your area that work against the interests of the earth and the interests of people. Identify them and do what Gandhi did. And we did that with these laws. And we've stopped the kind of laws that make it illegal for people to have their own seeds. I did a satyagraha throughout the country. Satyagraha means the fight for truth. And Gandhi had picked up the salt when the British said, you can't make salt. Gandhi said, how can you stop us from making salt? The sea gives it for free. And we need it for our survival. We'll continue to make salt. We won't obey your laws. Satyagraha is the most powerful force. All of Martin Luther King's movement was inspired by Gandhi and the force of not cooperating with unjust law. Racism was the law. It was legally protected. It took courage to say it's illegitimate and we will not support the laws and the practice of racism. So racism hasn't gone, but legal protection of racism isn't there anymore. So we are asking people to identify what laws. And when I was in Mexico, I told people, I said, if they try and make it illegal to have local corn seeds, don't obey that law. Declare your area seed freedom zones free of GMOs and free of patent laws and free of laws that prohibit the use of local seed.
Vandana Shiva from India, and the campaign she outlined has begun in October 2013 and is designed to become a recurring annual event. Seed Freedom is raising awareness of the current precarious state of the world's seed supply and its consequent threat to food security. The website seedfreedom.in for India provides a platform for people everywhere to take action to protect seed diversity and promote farmers' rights to save, breed, and exchange seed freely, all rights that are now under attack. By connecting seed freedom to Gandhi's Satyagraha and his march to the ocean to collect salt in face of armed intervention by the British occupation force, Vandana Shiva puts out a reminder that the freedom to own and save seed is a human and civil right. That was the conclusion of a talk and Q&A by India's most famous ecologist. Vandana Shiva is the author of many books. The violence of the Green Revolution has become a basic challenge to the dominant paradigm of non-sustainable industrial agriculture. She's a founding board member of the International Forum on Globalization and received the Right Livelihood Award in 1993. Vandana Shiva spoke at IONS in Petaluma, California on September 10, 2013. You can hear this program again on TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. That's tucradio.org. Look under newest programs. You can subscribe to weekly free podcasts, and you can get an audio recording on CD. Get information on how to order an audio CD of Genetically Engineered Food and the Militarization of Agriculture by Vandana Shiva by calling 1-707-463-2654. TUC Radio is free to all radio stations and on the internet and depends on the support of listeners like you. Your donation or CD order keep this program on the air. Call anytime at 707-463-2654 for information on how to order. Or go to TUC Radio's secure website, tucradio.org. My name is Maria Gelarden. Thank you for listening. Give us a call. Thank you.